This is the Chester County Real Estate Podcast, bringing you the info you need to make your next move a great one.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Chester County Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, and this is the show that gives you the information you need to make your next move a great one. Today, I'm sitting down with Alex Mitchell from AW Locksmith. We're going to go a little bit about what he does and different steps that people can take, maybe to not have to see him too often for the wrong reasons. Anyway, Alex, thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Cool. So tell me a little bit about what you do. I think we all kind of know what a locksmith does. I don't know, but you know, for someone who doesn't deal with this on a regular basis, like what kind of things are you doing on a regular basis?
Okay. So the first thing that most people would probably think of are lockouts. Mm-hmm. So people get locked out every single day of their car in their house. That's a majority. That's a lot of what we do.
Yeah.
We do a lot of car keys. Mm-hmm. Car keys is a huge thing, and working with cars and the automotive locksmith industry has really grown. But outside of that is a lot of residential and commercial work. So a lot of people buying new homes or selling their homes, they need stuff. They need their locks rekeyed, their locks changed, stuff like that. And sometimes it's just, you know, someone wants a new keypad, or someone wants the newest lock that they just saw online,
right,
or at Home Depot or Costco or what have you, you know. So a lot of it is lockouts and lock changes and car keys and such.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. But you know, like in real estate, it's never a bad idea to change your locks. Like if you buy a new house, like they're gonna give you the keys and you're gonna be real excited. Mm-hmm. But you have no idea. Like, think about how many people, like how many neighbors have an extra key, right? Like that's
yep.
So you move into a house, they give you the garage door openers and the keys. You have no idea how many keys are out there.
Yeah, exactly.
And the next door neighbor could have a key to your house and you don't even know who they are yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does make sense when you're buying a house, especially, you know, that's a pretty significant investment to change the locks.
Yeah, no, for sure.
The other thing too is landlords. Do you have landlords that are coming back to you, like repeat business? Have you experienced that? Because again, like if changing a lock when you buy a house is important, when you're renting it's probably even more so important, because you have no idea how many former renters have been in there. So
definitely, and that's a great question. So I do work with a lot of landlords and homeowners that rent out multiple units, triplexes, quadplexes, bigger buildings and stuff like that. When they're working with keys, oftentimes we do rekey after an old tenant moves out and a new tenant comes in, we rekey it for them. But what's becoming a lot more, you know, what's happening a lot more often now is with the keypads, with the electronic keypads.
Yeah.
I have a lot of realtors and a lot of homeowners that change to those keypads so that instead of having me come and rekey the lock, mm-hmm. or change the lock completely, we change the code. So
yeah.
Then those old tenants can't get in with that old code that they had, and it's so much easier. They keep that lock for 5 years, 10 years, you know, however long the life of that lock lasts.
Right.
So that's something that has been more and more common.
I remember when I was working for a property management company, like the tenant could call the property management company for a lockout, and mm-hmm. we had keys on hand, so we would send a contractor out there to open up. Like they didn't have to like pick the lock, they had the key.
Yeah.
But they would charge for it.
So okay.
I that's another thing. Like I think tenants need to look at their lease or their rules or whatever and find out if, you know, like you can call the landlord and the landlord will come out and open the door for you, but he probably doesn't want to do that at 10 o'clock at night.
That's true.
Or at all. And if it's a property management company, they have to charge, and then they're going to have to give the landlord fee and stuff like that. Bottom line is, even a tenant, it's a good idea to have a locksmith on hand. It might even be cheaper than calling the landlord.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. If they have a locksmith that they know or a locksmith that they work with, you know, there's a lot of tenants, a lot of people in town in Westchester, they've gotten locked out multiple times. And rather than calling their landlord or someone like that at 10 o'clock at night, you know, when they're coming back from the bar, that's when it happens a lot. They would call me, and repeat customers, repeat clients like that. It's great to work with them and be able to help them out with stuff like that.
So tell me a little bit about how you got into this, because I want to say, don't take this the wrong way, you're probably the youngest locksmith I've met that I know. You know, I was joking earlier, it's like calling a locksmith, I'm imagining like a grumpy old man, sure, all crotchety, and he's all like grumbling that you called him up in the middle of the night or so. Mm-hmm. So how did you get into locksmithing? What was the moment that made you want to decide to do this?
I definitely didn't wake up one day and I was like, oh, I love picking locks. You know, that's
because really, some people do.
Some people do, yes. And great for them. Yeah. You know, there's tons of lock picking enthusiasts and such. Me and my girlfriend, we were living in town in Westchester. Mm-hmm. We were young. I mean, I was younger than I am now. And that was a couple years ago, and we got locked out.
Yeah.
And so instead of calling our landlord, you know, it was late, we called a locksmith. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it started and snowballed. I met him, and we just had got to talking, and he had offered me an apprenticeship.
Okay.
So it really, to be honest with you, it came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it at the time, but I ended up accepting it later on and learning all the ins and outs of the trade. Mm-hmm. And you know, getting people into their cars and houses and learning how to make car keys, and I really love that I can go and help someone in a time that they really need it. A lot of people are very unhappy when they're locked out. I was unhappy myself when I was locked out.
Yeah, bad.
So to be able to have someone that came and was able to get in so quickly, mm-hmm, that's really how it started. And through that, I had worked for him, and I learned a lot about how to manage the business. He left me alone with the business, and I had mm-hmm worked and just kind of taken control of everything and started working. And then once he came back, that's when I kind of realized that I think I want to move out on my own. I want to do something for myself. I think I can do this better. I mean, that's what a lot of entrepreneurs or a lot of people say, and why they start something for themselves is they think they can do it better than the last guy.
Right. I like to say, you know, there's really two reasons why. I believe, like, in a lot of industries, especially real estate, you know, and a lot of, you know, if it's not like a family thing, it's kind of like there's two reasons why people become entrepreneurs. One, they didn't have any other options for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Like, becoming a consultant in the corporate world wasn't an option for them. Or two, they saw a need that wasn't being addressed in the marketplace. And, you know, I don't know about your story, but I hear a lot of times when people, they have their own business, it's like, well, I used to work for this bigger company, but I just wanted to go above and beyond I just felt like I could really help people. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't their policy, and I had to do my own thing. So, like, a lot of times those are usually the people I get on the podcast too. Here it's like there's people who are like in conversations, I'm like, hey, like, how'd you get into this? And it's like, well, I just felt like I was, you know, I just felt like the things they were having me do just was, I just felt bad for the people. And I was like, mm-hmm, we could be so, if we just did things a better way, the customer would be happier, we would make more money, but no one's listening to me. And it just kind of, like, you know, it's so that's the thing. Like, I love it when I'm talking to someone who has a small business, and it's like their passion is to help people, and they started their own business not because they felt like, oh, I'm going to grow this to be like make me filthy rich. It's like, no, because now I can help people in the way I feel like is the best way I can help them. You know, so.
I definitely would agree with that. And and that's very similar for me, you know. I felt like there's a lot of locksmiths and a lot of bigger locksmith companies, and this is true for a lot of other trades as well. Mm-hmm. But with my experience is, you know, you're in a position that you can take advantage of someone because they're locked out of their house, because they're locked out of their car. So you can charge them $200, $250, because what are their options? You know, right, that their options are limited. And that was one major thing that I really never felt good about, or I never really liked about working with some of these larger companies. Mm-hmm. And by separating myself and creating my own small business, I feel like I'm able to really help them and not take advantage of them in a time where it's easy to take advantage of them. And I just don't feel right about that. So from that to to managing inventory the way that I feel it should be managed and right. stuff like that, you know. So that's kind of my story and how I started.
So I feel like I'm a little bit older, but I feel like, man, this industry must have been way easier a couple decades ago, because now, like, there's so many different kinds of locks, so many, and they're all trying to come more and more, you know, bump proof or mm-hmm. pick proof and stuff like that. Would you say this is a trade that you really need to work with someone under and experienced, or is it something that you can pick up from a book and watching YouTube videos, or do you think there was a lot of value behind, like, working with someone hands-on?
I think there's a ton of value with with working with someone that has the experience. You can't trade that experience with the YouTube videos or the books. Sure, you can learn how to pick a lock or how to get into a car and learn the basics. A lot of the basics you can learn online, but you'll never get that hands-on experience. You know, it's very hard to do that by yourself.
Yeah.
So working under someone, asking them questions, you know, all of the little tricks that they've learned, all of the mistakes that they've made, you can learn from them. Mm-hmm. And the industry, as it, like you said, it's getting harder and harder to get into locks with the bump proof and pick proof locks nowadays. There's keypads, stuff is changing.
Yeah.
With cars, stuff is changing. It gets harder and harder to program a new car key just because of the software. So you really do need that hands-on experience, that you know, learning from someone else that has that experience for sure.
How often would you say when, like, someone's – now, I'm sure this happens more with house and, like, residential locks and stuff, but how often are you destroying the lock, and how often are you, like, picking it or whatever you're doing there?
So it's not very often that we destroy the locks, especially when with my company, you know, damage free is the way that we like it. We like to be able to either pick it, wedge the door, however we can get into your home without causing any kind of damage, without damaging the frame, the cylinder or anything. However, nowadays with these newer locks that are bump proof and pick proof or pick resistant, sometimes you have to destroy it, or you have to break a single piece of it that would make the lock no longer operable. And in that case, we would get in quickly and then replace that for them.
So we've mentioned this term here, and I bring this up just to kind of talk about, just to kind of highlight how vulnerable locks can be. And, you know, because and I know you don't do security, but that's, like, another thing that people should be thinking about, you know, how to get into their house, how to stop others from getting into it. It's kind of a similar conversation. But real quick, what do you mean by bump proof? Because I don't know if everyone understands the difference between bumping a lock, picking a lock, or what other whatever other ways there are. Like, we're familiar with lock picking. We watch, like, the cartoons when they take the pin out and they boom and the door is open. So what are some of the other things that people, you know, from a security perspective, that at least, you know, homeowners and renters should be aware of?
Sure. So people should definitely be aware of what bumping is, and what a bump key is. You know, anyone can look it up online, and there's people can order these keys online, you know, all over the place. But what a bump key actually is it's a key that's cut to the lowest depths possible, which is the other term for it is a 999 key, because that's the lowest depth. And what you do is you insert the key into the lock cylinder and you bump it with, like, a little hammer. You can use the back of a screwdriver. We have special tools that we use. You bump it and apply light tension to the key at the same time, like how if you were picking it with a tension wrench and you were, you know, applying that tension. And as you do that, you bump it once, twice, 10 times. Eventually that lock will turn and that cylinder will turn and you'll be able to gain entry through the door. So it pretty much mimics the cuts of what your key would be if you had locked it inside.
Right. What would be the difference in a bump proof lock?
So a bump proof lock, like what we call, it's a quick set smart key.
Yeah.
So those are locks that have both, they have both pins and wafers, similarly to what we have in our cars, in our car's ignition and in the door. Instead of having just pins, you have wafers in there that go on the top or go on the bottom. And so those And this is the same reason why these locks are so great. You can rekey them without taking apart the lock, without taking out the pins. So it doesn't allow that key. The only key that will work is the key that's cut for it. If you try and bump it, those wafers that are in there, it locks that cylinder in place. So it's impossible to mimic or imprint with those bump keys. The only way that you could bypass it other than drilling it is with a modified pick set where you're applying tension in two different places.
Okay, interesting. So, I mean, which keeps you in business.
Of course.
when you're replacing a lock for somebody, if you give them a regular lock, you know, say it's a landlord, in a year or two when that tenant leaves or whatever, however long the tenant is, they're going to call you back. If you give them a smart key that they can rekey themselves, aren't you putting yourself out of business there?
I really believe in helping people. That's a big thing, and why I started is because I truly want to help people. And yeah, so you're definitely right. They might call me to ask for a few keys so that they could change it and rekey it themselves. A lot of times people just want to work with me and they want me to come rekey it for them or do the work. But yeah, so landlords, yourself, homeowners, it's a great option for people to use it. It doesn't make my job obsolete. There's a lot of knowledge, and you know, when those people are locked out, what are they going to do? But it definitely allows an option for people so that they don't have to call a locksmith every single time they want to rekey the lock. But for sure. So it definitely takes away a little bit.
Yeah.
But
I bet the other locksmiths just love you. So, okay, cool. On that note, what's the best way that people can get a hold of you?
Direct by phone. They can call me. They can go to my website. They can go on my Facebook page or TikTok page.
And your website is?
And aw-locksmith.com.
Okay,
cool. And they can find me on there and click on my my phone number and call me directly. And in an instant, you know, I'll be there for them.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, man. Well, thanks a lot. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Chester County Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by RE/MAX Ace Realty, serving buyers and sellers in the Chester County area. Subscribe for new episodes at acerealtypa.com/podcast. And you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and wherever podcasts are found.